Jerry Pippin, and we are broadcasting from Roswell, New Mexico, on the 60th anniversary. Well, we don't have enough people in here for the applause normally. Yeah, we do. Okay. Yeah. We have a very interesting man here, Rodney E.J. Chang, and he has a book called Roswell Encounter Gallery. So, E.J., or what would you like to be called? I guess Robert.
Rodney.
Rodney, okay. Rodney, when we talk about this book, it's fiction, but it's all about, is it about Roswell?
It's about Roswell and the crash of 47. And I added a new twist to it, to make entertainment. They crash again. They come back for the 60th anniversary. The saucers come back and land on Main Street.
Well, I often thought they might.
That's what I came from Hawaii, and I'm still looking up, and I haven't seen anything yet. But you know, it's daytime.
Now in Hawaii, they have their share of UFO sightings and things like that too.
As the author of this book, there's some of my childhood memories. Oh, well, some sightings that I've seen, and it sort of got me to the field.
See, I just had a hunch it was probably some more to the story than just him sitting down at a computer and typing out a fiction piece. Tell me, in brief, a little thumbnail about the book, and then I want to get to the sightings and your childhood experiences.
Okay.
Where's the gallery?
Well, right now there's no gallery.
Oh, okay.
It's all sci-fi.
It's in your mind.
The gallery's in the book, but I'm also here to look at property, and I'm trying to locate it close to the future site of the UFO Museum on 7th and 8th Street. And I think we found the house.
You've come to Roswell, and you intend probably to stay, or at least come back.
Right, or set up a business where it's going to be an art gallery dedicatedly, totally to UFO space and alien art. And if an artist was going to...
First question is, do you have some alien art already?
I'm a UFO artist.
Okay.
So it's coming home.
Yeah. Is this somewhat like, you get inspirations and somebody takes over and you paint the paintings, or do you think you've had these experiences? I got to get to these experiences.
Okay.
But is this a story basically where... The gallery, the paintings come alive, or what? What's the story?
Did you read the book already?
No.
Right now, I have the series going with some other artists where we have portraits of 12 different aliens, and like in the book.
In the broadcast business, I immediately think of this as a great TV series. You go into the gallery, and each story's got one. So remember that. Find you an agent. Get that going, too.
Okay. Well, it's written to be a movie script.
Okay.
In fact, I have a couple guys in Hollywood looking at it.
Well, then you don't have to find an agent. You've got somebody.
Okay. And since I'm an artist, I write in a very visual way. So it's like, you know, scenes. And I hope to recreate the scenes in this particular book so that when there's a brick-and-mortar version of it in Roswell, people with certain expectations will see the story come alive in our reality.
Do you have any of your paintings with you?
No, I didn't think you could see it on the radio.
No, you can't. But I was just curious. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have one, but it's going to the Roswell Museum, and I got into the Jewish show.
And so. We may try to get down there and get a picture. You need to get it to us so we can put it on the website.
Okay, I think Bob has that.
That'll be a good idea.
Okay.
Now tell me about your experiences in Hawaii.
Okay, well, way back, I used to go with my family to the drive-in when there was still a drive-in, and at one time I was on top of the car on the roof, and I saw this object in the sky, and it just zigzagged all over the place. Uh-huh.
How old were you when that happened?
About 9 years old.
Do you think you've had more than just sightings, or just...
Well, there's a very strange thing, and I hate to admit it in public, because you might think I'm a weirdo.
Well...
But it did actually happen. So through the character, so I'm protected. The character, but it really happened in my life. At one time in the 90s, I had several computers running, and I have a program, and I have an art background, obviously, you know. And I had the computers make the pictures sequences overnight because I do a lot of 3D, and it takes forever back then in the 90s process all that stuff. But anyway, I came down the stairs one, and there was this picture that I didn't do. Of Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it happened.
And did you print it out? Do you have it?
It's in the book.
Okay, good.
But
what was Marilyn?
I didn't see the connection because I wasn't.
Was it a portrait or what?
It was a portrait. It looked like a ghost.
Oh, really?
It's black and white. It's haunting. It was obviously her. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the connection with UFOs because I didn't know the connection about the Marilyn Monroe thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so now that I'm into all this to do research for the book, then I realize, wow, she's part of all this. So that's another of my motivations to come here, do the house, convert it to a gallery, and have one bedroom converted to like a shrine to Marilyn Monroe. With that painting, that I didn't do it, it just kind of popped up.
It just came there.
Came through the silicon chips. So in the book, the curse of the computer moves by itself, and I'm sleeping upstairs, and it's the aliens are putting.
And it, well, this basically happened.
It happened. Yeah. And it's gonna. I think I'm gonna make a lot of money off this print because it just came out of nowhere, and it's Marilyn Monroe, and it's tied to all this, and here I am to promote like she wants to come through, you know.
Well, any other interesting paintings like that?
That's it.
No.
I basically do a lot of abstract. Oh, yeah, this one here.
Uh-huh.
It's called Assembly. And
you're
I guess,
showing me a part of a book
yeah,
here.
It's a
in
11,
the book, when you pick this book up, it's available at Amazon.com, by the way. We have a link to it.
If I get this gallery going, I'm going to have to ship it, and it's going to be cost to bring in an 11-foot by 6-foot painting. It consists of 235,000 hand-painted pixels, 4x4mm squares. And what this painting will serve as you can see, it looks alienated. In the story, if you stand in front of it with the right proper system going, then you can walk through, and in the back of the wall of this house that I'm planning to get is the parallel dimensions where the aliens have a UFO base to handle the sightings in the local area. More convenient than coming from the backside of the moon. Yeah.
And when you write these stories, you think this would make a good movie, and it sounds like it would.
I made sure that it was a lot of action in it, uh-huh. And there's also a love story in there.
So it's modestly, you say, a terrific read.
I think so. I wrote it to just it should just flow. I read it so it's not boring, so that you just can't keep put it down. I mean, a lot of people get through it in 2 days. Even if it's 400 pages.
Now, you're going to have to explain to me how this computer image became an 11-foot thing. How did that happen? Oh. I mean, how did you know it would? It just was that what it was supposed to be, or did you?
No, I didn't know that. I just started seeing the aliens in it, you know, 15 years ago. But I did it because back then in the 80s, I'm known as the father of computer art in Hawaii. I'm the first guy that was using a computer. And back then we had Amiga, which had only 1 megabyte of RAM. And so everything was real pixelated. You know, low resolution.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll be the only fool to actually paint it out. I'll be the human printer. So it took a whole year of paint, you know. And so I try to be honest and loyal to all the pixels and replicate every single thing on that screen. And it came out, that's how it came out to be 11 feet.
So if I understand this correctly, you did it one pixel at a time?
Yes. With a tiny little Chinese brush to get the square corners. Yeah, it was...
You're a patient man.
Well, actually, I paid somebody else to do it. She was my human printer. She was a graduate student. Yeah. She's now a food professor.
Oh, he's an entrepreneur, too. See, he understands what it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm a dentist.
And well, so you have a practice in Hawaii?
Yes, I do.
You're going to move your practice to Roswell?
My wife won't let me.
Okay, you're going to have to stay in Hawaii.
Well, she said there's no way she's going to move to Roswell. I can come and visit her later whenever I need to. But in the story, being a dentist, I'm still in private practice. There's this scene in the book where this weird individual comes in and wants full veneers to hide all its sharp teeth.
Yeah.
So you know, I try to use a lot of my own personal life to enrich the characters.
Have you had anybody... come in, little vampire teeth, and say, I'd like to have these fixed. I don't think that it's in Hawaii. That's paradise. There wouldn't be any vampires there.
No, it's basically UFOs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also,
You know, our new T-shirts out here on the Jerry Pippen T-shirts from Roswell, we show an alien skull with teeth, and Larry Dickin, who's a purist and our executive producer, said, now, the UFO ETs did not have teeth. You can't put that on the T-shirt. So we had a huge debate about that.
Uh-huh.
And then Roberta Scott, our location producer, found some other people who said, yeah, they had some teeth. And so...
Well, I got around that issue in the book. She has teeth because she's a transgenic mutant.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just a spin-off of the Hawaiian, I mean, not the Hawaiian, but the human genes.
And a transgenic person, do they still have to go to the dentist to get their molars filled?
Well, they don't, but she had these peg teeth, and she was tired of her looks.
Okay.
So she wanted, like, really nice luminaires.
Yeah, she wanted to.
Veneers.
Right. She wanted to look like Marilyn Monroe or somebody else similar.
Yes, right. Yes.
I understand. So you're convinced that you had, while you were up sleeping and your computer was working away,
mm-hmm.
you had a paranormal experience about Marilyn Monroe. Something came and intervened, huh?
Right, it's a miracle.
You, no explanation, you just know it happened.
I like it the way it is. I don't try to investigate it further. I'm just going to bring that picture to Roswell where it belongs, I think, you know.
When do you think you might actually get this Roswell Museum open, this art
gallery?
Well,
I just came back from the property half an hour ago, and it's pretty good condition.
So you're working on it.
Yeah, it might be open by the next couple months.
Oh, you know, so in other words, by fall we may you're going to move fast on this.
Right. I won't move personally, but my friend Robin here.
Yes.
She'll be the gallery manager, and she's thinking of taking on the position to get it going.
Well, great, Robin, and you know when we get it open, you got to let us know so we can give you a nice plug.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodney Chang has got some great ideas, and you liked them, huh?
Yeah.
So you've got to, you're pretty optimistic this is going to happen then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, there you are. Well, Rodney, anything else you'd like to bring out that we haven't talked about? You got some notes here.
Yeah. Well, I think
I hate to give away a little professional
I think,
secrets.
Well, I never did refer to them. I didn't even have to. You're great to work with here. But I think what people should think about this particular book is that it basically says that the aliens in this book of fiction are using art now, fine arts, as another way to communicate their messages, you know, which is, of course, you know, the salvation of mankind from himself. They do the crop circles, they've done the crash, and incidentally, I don't know if other people say that, but my book, which is fiction, of course, says they crashed intentionally.
Okay,
because they wanted to give us more tangible evidence that they are here other than their intentional sightings.
You mentioned crop circles. I've always thought they were egg and art. What do you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, and your particular expertise or abstract things like that?
Yes, there's overlap. In fact, I did some crop circle pieces.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And in fact, in the book, if you like crop circles, when you go through this painting and you go into the parallel dimension in the gallery, then there's a place where crop circles are being designed. They have to spend time in designing it right before.
Well, sure, you got a designer place.
Yeah, so it's coming out right out of Roswell.
Probably
on
the 23rd floor of some nice building somewhere. No, where was it?
It's in the gallery inside the walls.
Inside another
it's
dimension.
It's a big space. It's parallel dimension. Oh, that's right. It's one of your front. The gallery's a front because you have a UFO base inside the gallery and a design studio for crop circles in this little house.
Well, it sounds to me like you pretty well covered the bases here, Rodney Chang.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the name of the book, again, is Roswell Encounter Gallery.
Which is going to be the same name of the gallery.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's a book, but it's also going to be real.
Yes.
Here in Roswell, probably by the fall.
Uh-huh.
You're here to do some business. You're not wasting any time when you get to Roswell.
Right. And I want to say that this book is also, the goal was to vindicate all those that, you know, had to keep silent, that whole generation. So in my book, the townspeople are the good folks, the good people. And you know who the villain is. So, you know, so.
Who is the villain?
The government.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Gee,
uh-oh. It's going to be harder to get through airports now. I'm going to get on some terrorist list.
Uncle Sam? Robert, Rodney, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This is Jerry Pippen. We're broadcasting from the UFO Museum, actually down the street, the Civic Center. And we will continue from Roswell.
Hello, this is Farah Yurduz. Maybe you have questions about love, your job, your health, money and more. With my psychic gifts and my tarot readings, we can reveal the solutions to your deepest mysteries. Please Please visit me through Jerry Pippin Radio and let's find the answers together.
Click on Pharaoh's banner for the answers to the most personal question. Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. 60th anniversary of the Roswell crash. And this is quite an experience for me. The Dolans are here. No. See, there's a Ken and Doria Dolan. Yep. They do a financial show. So are you ever going to get your husband on the air with you?
I did last week, actually. It was his birthday, July 1st.
Oh, you know, a lot of people around here seem to have birthdays about the same time in July. I wonder if there's something...
Isn't that
kind of
creepy?
Yeah, it is. Rosemary Ellen Guiley over at Faith Magazine, she had a birthday today. Somebody was in here yesterday, 777. It's their birthday.
Wow.
Well, they had little horns coming out of them.
Oh, God.
You actually made a presentation here. I'm used to your husband doing these things.
I made my first presentation ever. That was my first.
Well, tell me what you talked about.
Ever. I talked about UFOs, aliens, and media desensitization of children. So what I did, I presented images of TV shows for kids like Teletubbies and Boobah, which a lot of people here probably haven't even heard of.
Oh, I have.
If you have little children or small grandchildren, then people have
heard
of them.
Well, I'm dialed mad. Of course, I don't watch those shows.
Yeah.
But no. tell me what's happening there with that.
Well, all I did was present the images, and I said, you know, I don't know whether this is the result of some conspiracy, some grand plan to put out alien images to get kids accustomed to seeing them, or if it's just a pop culture thing that this is what's big right now. But the effect is kids are getting used to seeing these images. They have these little friends with big round heads. The Teletubbies look like they're wearing space suits. They've got antenna coming off their heads, little receivers on their bellies. Boobah are even worse. I mean, they just have these enormous eyes. They don't even have a lower face. They're just eyes. And they come in a craft. The show starts with this image of a silvery ball coming flying across the sky. It comes down and crash lands, and then you see inside it, they're all sleeping in these little pods inside the thing. And when they open up, they have these beautiful, big, black eyes. And they look like grays, except that they're big and bright colored.
So the hypothesis of this presentation would be that perhaps it's just not only interesting to kids to have characters like this, mm-hmm. but there may be an ulterior motive.
There may be, and that's what I'm curious
about.
So
you're preparing us for disclosure or for an invasion or a visitation,
yep.
or what? Or all of the above?
Or maybe somebody saying, you know what, when we've been coming and doing abductions, we surround people in their beds at night, they wake up and they fight us because they're scared. You know, we want little kids to wake up and see these big round heads and these big black eyes and think, oh, okay, Teletubbies are here. I'm going to go play.
Well, that's a good point. You raise an interesting thing. And, of course, when we talk about these things, this is not the first time I've heard this theory. But, hey, it's logical.
I've never heard anyone talk about it at a conference
before. Not in person. I mean, I'm talking about just individually visiting
exactly,
the people.
Exactly, not a presentation.
Right,
I've talked
right.
about it in conversation
right.
with people, and almost no one I talked to knew what I was referring to when I brought up Boobah, for example. Everyone knows Teletubbies. Nobody had heard of Boobah.
Well, what I'm talking about is a general idea of all of a sudden you came out with War of the Worlds, again a remake, uh-huh. why at this time, et cetera, et cetera. And now you're bringing it up from the children's television aspect, which is a great insight into possibly we're all being, as you say, desensitized. Something's going to be happening.
It is interesting because, as you pointed out, War of the Worlds came out, and that's an image of aliens attacking. These are big, scary aliens.
Right.
We have to fight them. We have to defeat them. Then, of course, we went through movies like Close Encounters and E.T. What we're finding now, the most recent things are coming out, are things like Teletubbies and Boobah, where the aliens are gentle and they're fun, and this is being directed at very small children, preschool age and very young school age. And what they're seeing, and Disney's Lilo and Stitch, there's a little alien who's always pictured mm-hmm. dancing on the beach with his little grass skirt with a little Hawaiian girl. Gosh, that's not anything we need to be afraid of, right?
Well, of course. No, it was an excellent point. Now tell me about the radio show.
I actually have only been doing it for about a month. I have done 4 shows. Oh, I did 5. I did one yesterday.
Yeah,
From here.
Now, it's on what, once a week?
It is on once a week. It's called Through the Keyhole. And ordinarily, I broadcast on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I follow Guy Malone, who's live from Roswell.
Right.
After him. I actually got my start.
Well, I think Guy's going to be doing his show today. Or maybe
right.
Not.
He told me last week he's preempting me today, so I got mine in yesterday.
Okay. so now, when we do this, and we've had Joe Montalvo on the air with us here, let's give that website to everybody so they can hear you. Or how do they find you?
Oh, how to get to my show.
Yeah,
you can
go to Joe's. I want to get to you.
Okay.
Your show.
We're plugging
your show. But
well, thank you.
That's the same network, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's broadcast on ParanormalRadioNetwork.com. You can also get to it from our site, Rich's and mine, is KeyholePublishing.com. It's like looking through a keyhole. And the name of the show is Through the Keyhole. We took the name from the publishing company. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of publishing companies, what's happening there?
Well, we published Rich's first book, UFOs in the National Security State, which came out in 2000.
Oh, he's one of our favorite people to have on the air. We know about that book a lot.
Yeah.
But tell what else you got going?
Well, he's working on Volume 2.
Okay.
Still working on Volume 2. A lot of things came up last year. He got a chance to do a TV show on the Sci-Fi Channel,
mm-hmm.
which was a fantastic opportunity. He had a lot of fun, and it was a great show. But he lost a lot of writing time, so that pushed everything back.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. You think, well, it's only a show, and they tell you, it won't take much time, a little few stand-ups here and there, and, of course,
yeah.
Next thing you know, your whole life's there.
Yeah. Well, he actually lost a few months.
You're
going to
become
a
TV star like your husband?
Oh, I'm working on it.
I as I kicked it off about the famous Dolan family in the financial world, maybe you guys will have a UFO call-in show and a TV show every day. You want to do something like that?
I would love that. That'd be great.
Okay, maybe somebody listening will give you the opportunity.
Hey,
how do they find you on the website? Your website again.
On our website?
Give it one more time.
It's www.keyholepublishing.com. And when you go to that page, there's a link on the first page to go to mine with information on the radio program and everything that I'm doing.
We're running short of time here because it's very rushed. What's your impression of Roswell this time around, and what's happening? You could come across any new information, any scoops you can give me or something? Any great gossip?
Oh, gosh. You know what? We have been so busy because I actually don't have any new scoops. I'm so sorry. I've talked to a lot of really wonderful people.
Do you think the Roswell event is the way we perceive it, or there's actually several perceptions out there? I'm kind of putting you on the spot because you're in Roswell.
Yeah, well, I definitely think something happened.
Okay.
I think there was a crash. I think it's all legitimate. I mean, when the military goes in a few days afterward and they go shoulder to shoulder across such a huge area, they go into people's homes looking in their sugar bowls to retrieve pieces. I don't think that's standard operating procedure for retrieving a weather balloon.
I agree with you.
So, you know, that alone makes me think, yeah, something happened.
What kind of subjects do you like to deal with on your radio show, for instance?
I deal with ufology. I also deal with paranormal. Rich focuses on ufology, but I was interested in paranormal topics before I even met Rich.
And
so,
when we talk about paranormal topics, are you talking about my favorite subjects, ghosts and haunted houses?
Absolutely. My first program on my debut show, I interviewed Ryan Buell, the founder of Penn State Paranormal Research Society. The following week, I had a friend of mine on who spent 30 years studying the history of Wicca. So we talked about paganism and the pagan holidays.
Yeah. You know, the first time I started doing paranormal shows, a couple of ladies walked up and they talked about, they were proud they were witches, and I just had to, now I'm into it, but at the time I was kind of astounded about the whole idea.
Yeah.
You seen any ghosts yourself or other events that you can't explain?
I believe that probably everyone in the world has seen ghosts, but there are always occasions where you see somebody, you might talk to them, and then later you talk to someone else and they say, oh, it couldn't have been that person, they died yesterday. I mean, I think that kind of thing happens all the time. And I think probably everyone in the world has seen ghosts, whether they realize it or not.
So you think it, if we were not so wrapped up in ourselves and started looking around, we might be surprised at what we do see?
I think everyone has the ability to see a lot more than we think we do. I think that we need to be more open to it. We need to pay more attention to what's actually in the world around us and stop watching TV all the time. Which kind of led into my presentation also. I said, look, if you're going to watch TV, that's fine, but pay attention to what the messages actually are. Look at what people are really telling you and what people are really telling your kids. And turn off the TV a little bit.
You hear extraterrestrial.
I just ruined my chance to get on TV, didn't I?
No.
I said, turn off the TV.
That's the reason I was changing the subject really fast. I thought, because we were just pitching you through a series with your husband.
I know. Jeez, I just blew it.
Hey, you won't offend these guys. If you get a rating, they'll give you a job anyway. We have no pride. When it gets
works
down
for
to
me.
Now, we're almost out of time. We've got to make room for. You mentioned Guy Malone. They're coming in here and doing the next show, so we need to break down.
I would like to just thank Guy Malone. I want to point out he's done an amazing job, not only organizing this whole conference, but for me personally, Guy got me my start on radio. He had me on his show as a guest. He had already arranged that he was going to interview Rich at some point when he started his show live from Roswell. Guy had the idea to call me one day and he said, hey, why don't you come on and talk about what it's like to be married to a UFO researcher? So I thought, okay, so we got on, we had a really good time, and the ratings were very good for that show. So a couple weeks later, he interviewed Rich. At the last minute, he called me and he said, hey, can you come on too? And we'll just chat. And we did, and I ended up doing the whole show with them. And again, we had really good ratings.
Well, now how does Rich feel about all this?
Rich is amazingly supportive about this. He's
a great guy.
He's fantastic. And you know, when I was chatting with Guy and I talked about this media thing, and he said, well, why don't you come and talk at the conference? So I said, okay, you know, I don't know if I can do this. I went to Rich, and he just was incredible about helping me put my presentation together, because I'd never done this before. He told me how to do it. He put PowerPoint on my computer, taught me how to use PowerPoint, all the way through. I mean, talked me through this whole thing, and every time I had a panic attack, thinking, I can't stand up in front of all these people and talk, and he's like, you'll be great. Just calm down. You'll be fine.
Well, I hear it went well.
Well, thank you. It did. It was very well received.
You know, I used to do stand-up comedy years ago, and sometimes if it's a new audience or something you weren't familiar with, you got a little butterfly or two. Mm-hmm. But when you get out there and they react to you, and the same thing when you make a presentation, you get a little confidence. All of a sudden, it's great.
Yeah. Once I got going, it was fun. It was Saturday morning. We're watching cartoons.
So you are available if somebody wants to book you someplace.
Absolutely.
Okay, and they can check you out on your website.
Yes.
Get two for one, maybe.
Absolutely. We'll do teamwork. We're fine with it.
Or at least two for the price of 1 3/4.
Yeah. Spare travel expenses. Yes, we'll go anywhere.
Right. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on here, Jerry.
And we've got to get out of here, folks. The bumper music's playing, and we just really have enjoyed ourselves in Roswell. And until next time, I'd like to thank Roberta Scott, our location producer, Jane Swartley, our editor. Cheers. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com.